The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And that means taking all of Scripture, not having it censored by the ACLU or by the government or by the IRS.
Coming up on Life Today, Doug Napier shares the heart of the Alliance Defense Fund.
We have a devoted project to protect the church and pastors so they can preach the whole counsel of God's Word, and that their sermon should not come from the IRS, but should come from God Himself.
The ACLU versus America, next.
Today. Thank you so very much for joining us. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
And we have a very special guest who is, you talk about defending the faith and defending freedom. The Alliance Defense Fund is probably the greatest advocate for everything you would treasure, everything you'd hold dear, everything important. I've got here in front of me a book that, as a matter of fact, you could get it by going online. There's the website, the ACLU versus America. American Civil Liberties Union, you say, are they against America? Well, if you really understand the importance of faith and family and freedom, it appears that they are. Now, there may be some occasions when they talk about free speech and so forth, and yet, in a way, it seems like sometimes they want to limit any speech that exposes some of their intentions. This is a tremendous book. It's written by Alan Sears and Craig Osten. And I think you'd be, you'd find it of great value. Doug Napier is here, who actually was a part of our prayer summit, leadership summit last fall. You can go way back on jamesrobinson.net, go to the columns, scroll back through all the way back to September and read about coming through the storms and read the church leaders there that touch 25 million people basically on a weekly. Through their impact and influence. And it was an incredible gathering. And Doug was there. He was representing the Alliance Defense group because they are really as good of friends as we'll ever have in the family and community of faith. And I want you to welcome Doug to life today. We're going to talk about what they do and its importance. Would you welcome Doug?
Thank you.
Be sure and give Alan and all of your co-workers our regards. Would you do that?
I will do that.
And let me just ask, for our viewers' sake, your opinion of bringing these church leaders from such a diverse group. And we got evangelicals, we had Catholics, we had mainline church groups, charismatic leaders, Pentecostals, Baptists sitting there, yep. Like family. Well, that was kind of a pleasant experience, I would think.
It was so encouraging to see these people come together for such an important mission and in an important time as this, to really look at what the future of America is going to be like in the coming days.
Do you think we're facing some very troubling issues that every Christian should be prayerfully concerned about?
You know, the Alliance Defense Fund was formed 15 years ago to face the kind of battles that are near and dear to all of Christians' hearts. We want to keep an America that will honor God, will honor the faith that our founding fathers established this country on. And the gospel's still worth fighting for. And we want to fight for that gospel. And we don't see ourselves as the answer. We see ourselves as the protectors of those who have the answers. So these ministry leaders that you brought together, the work that you're doing with your viewers, that's what's important. Our mission is keep the doors open for the spread of the gospel so that you can do your job and you can speak truth and hope into the culture, because that's what will transform.
Do you even believe that ministers should be able to freely, let's say, address what would be considered biblically immoral or against family virtues and interests, and that they ought to be able to speak without being threatened with some loss of tax exemption and so forth? And is that a very real problem? Is that a very real possibility? Because I was actually put off television because of the, quote, fairness doctrine,
right,
back in the 70s, and that actually brought about a great concern on the part of church people that a that an evangelist could be put off for simply saying certain lifestyles are not in line with Scripture. And I probably said it maybe a little more forcefully than that, but actually what got me, I was quite calm and gentle. I wasn't angry, which I was prone to be angry in those days. I'm now very nice, always happy. But the point is that I made a point, and I was put off television, and we took a stand, and then the fairness doctrine was reversed. A lot of people want to bring that back, which would limit free speech. So my question is, are preachers actually facing the possibility of having their right to preach, their freedom of speech, the right to preach without fear of something happening?
You know, James, we represented a pastor in Sweden, Aki Green, mild-mannered guy, reminds me a lot of you. Preached the Word of God. He was preaching the Book of Romans, preaching not only about sin, but also God's grace and the sufficiency of God's grace. It was a message of hope. Somebody reported him. This is in his church, mind you. This isn't even on television. And they reported him. He was brought up on hate crimes and sentenced to 6 months in jail. Now, we were able to intervene at that point on the appellate level, and the prosecutor cross-appealed because he didn't think six months in jail was enough, and he was acquitted. But, you know, this is Sweden. This isn't a third-world country, and we see our Supreme Court importing foreign law into the United States. We have a devoted project to protect the church and pastors so they can preach the whole counsel of God's Word, and that their sermon should not come from the IRS, but should come from God Himself. And they should not feel that they can't preach everything that's in the good book, because it's a message of hope, and we want to keep those doors open.
Well, how do we show people, Christians, people that have convictions and they have principles, they want to live by those principles, how do we let them see that just because there's something that deals with our country and things we vote on and stuff, that's not politics. That's part of life and what we care about, because we have sat back and decided, well, that's politics. We can't get into that.
If it is politics, if it has to do with principles and it has to do with absolutes,
we've allowed it to become the evil thing that we don't get into.
Right, and Betty, you're exactly right, because I think these are topics that didn't belong to the secular world. These were our topics. When you talk about family and family values and education, even the economy is a moral issue. Mm-hmm. Those topics don't belong to the world. They belong to Christians, and God speaks to all of those issues. So, you know, we have the privilege of representing heroes. Those heroes are people who want to stand up for truth, who want to live out their faith on campus, who want to not shy away from the truth when they have university professors that are yelling profanities at them.
But if one of them were to mention God, then there might be some kind of scuttle about it, and even court cases about it. I mean, I think, shouldn't a teacher, in just not trying to impose their faith, but shouldn't they be able to mention, maybe they went to church Easter without recourse coming from some organization or some lawsuit, which is coming. I mean, we've got an issue going here now where there's a big deal of whether or not you stand when you pledge allegiance.
Right.
And so we may pretty soon find out that saying the Pledge of Allegiance is against something that the ACLU or someone doesn't want us to do.
You know, when you read this book, The ACLU Versus America, you see that there is a very intentional agenda of the left to censor everything that is good and hopeful, everything that Christians hold fast and dear. And you look at America, when we step back, is America better off? You know, are we better off having removed prayer from school? Are we better off telling children that can't express their faith, they can't celebrate Christmas, they can't hand out candy canes with the gospel message on it? I don't think so. And we have to have some sensibility brought back into our culture. And the Alliance Defense Fund will defend these students. And we go into universities. I think about every university we've gone into where they've had speech codes that have said, you know, if you're gonna preach the gospel, you have to go to the North 40 where nobody ever crosses the path. But if you're gonna go out there and talk about socialism or down with the America, you can have prime real estate. So there's just that inequity out there. But we're seeing changes. We're fighting these battles and we're winning.
You know, you made reference a moment ago to economic issues or moral issues. Here's the thing I really like you to understand. I think critically important for people to understand that from the very beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were given oversight of the garden, they were literally overseers, and they, by having dominion, wasn't some dominance factor, but dominion means watch care. And so we are to be the overseers of what God entrusts to our watch care. And stewardship should be a major emphasis in a church. And we ought to put God first. We ought to put everything in the right priority order, and one part of the priority should be focus on others and a legitimate interest. We need to emphasize that. So to care about others, and when people in let's say political circles say we need to care about taking care of others and so forth, exactly right. We don't have any qualms there. The church above all should be saying that, but the church basically has kind of given up the responsibility and even looking at realistic ways to meet the need because we've been told the government's going to cover that. And after all, remember this, the government doesn't make money, they take money. Now, they do print money and diminish the value of yours. But basically, it's our money. Do you understand that? It is ours. So if they have the money that we have then entrusted to their watch care and they misuse it or abuse it or misapply it or spend what you put into Social Security with a hope for a future at a certain age and they've already used it other way, and it's not there, it's gone, and everything that we entrust to them is misused, I see that as a moral issue. I see that as a matter of stewardship. Now, am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're absolutely right.
So wouldn't we need to address that? And it's what I was saying to you a while ago, but I don't care if they call it political. Yeah. Why should anybody say, well, if you say that, that's political? Well, whose business is it to tell me that I can't address any issue of concern? And let me just go ahead and make it clear. I'm going to. Did you understand? I'm going to. I won't be stopped. You say, well, we'll lock you up. I'll do it there. I'll write letters from prison. Paul was very effective doing that. But it'd be
sad. Call us before you get to prison.
I don't want to call the Alliance Defense Fund. I'd really rather not write letters in prison. But I'm trying to make the point. What if it does affect policy?
Sure.
When the policymakers are abusing what we've entrusted to their watch care, when we have spent way beyond our means, and then when we've got class warfare where we hate everybody who might produce jobs or produce wealth, we make them the primary enemy. Yeah. Something's wrong. Now, you can say, I'm stirred up about this. I need to calm down.
No, you need to be stirred up about it.
But the point is, don't I have the right freedom and responsibility to speak forth concerning issues
you
that
absolutely
matter.
Do, without any fear of consequences from the government. Our first liberty is religious freedom. That's why it's first in our Bill of
Which
Rights.
Which includes the ability to preach.
It includes the ability to preach and preach as you are directed by God. And that means taking all of Scripture, not having it censored by the ACLU or by the government or by the IRS, threatening you with your tax-exempt status. We shouldn't care about that stuff. We should be concerned with being stewards of the truth. We have the answers. God's Word provides us with the answers. And when people like you who are bold enough to speak into the culture and to share those ideas from God's Word, they work. And that's why the Alliance Defense Fund was formed, because it wasn't that we were losing because we didn't have the better arguments. We were losing because we weren't showing up. But now we've got people...
We didn't even really have good legal representation because it looked like the legal cards were stacked against faith and freedom and family.
Well, whoever thought there'd be 2,000 Christian attorneys that have come together for this kind of...
We have
2,000 volunteer attorneys in our network in the United States and around the world that are fighting for these causes.
And you've represented effectively, in a winning way, as many cases before the Supreme Court, I think, as any other group.
We've had 38 cases before the Supreme Court that we participated in with wins. And we just recently had one that goes back to your issue about whose money is it. Parents have the best idea of where their children should be educated. Arizona had a tuition program where people could give to a tuition organization and they would turn around and give scholarships so parents could send their kids to private schools or charter schools, even Christian schools. The ACLU said, wait a minute, you can't do that. That's government money. Whoa. Because their premise was that it's government money until we let you keep it. And fortunately, the Supreme Court got that one right, and they said, no, it's people's money until we tax it and hope we won't tax it too much.
If people want to support what you're doing, what do? Go on your website?
The best thing for them to do is to go to our website. It's tellADF.org, and they can get information about all the issues that we're involved in, from life issues to family values issues to education, university. All of those things are on our website. And if they're concerned about their own rights, there's a place they can get legal assistance. We have a 1-800 number they can call. If teachers telling them that they can't share their faith, they can call us and we will represent them for free. You know, the thing that has intimidated so many people is just the mere cost of, even if they're right and they can win, they can't afford the legal representation. Our ministry friends donate to the organization so that, because if we win a case in Arizona, it's going to help parents send their kids to school in Georgia and New York and every place else. So these cases are important and people believe it and they get behind it with their generous donations.
So when I say you're defending faith, family, and freedom, real freedom.
Yeah.
Not license and liberty to do whatever you want to do. that really hurts others. You're talking about the real liberty and freedom that our founders understood, which in really, really implies personal responsibility.
Right.
And you defend. That's who you defend.
That's what we defend. Eisenhower said that a people that values its privileges more than its principles soon loses both. And we're at a place in this country where, you know, we are so engrossed in ourselves that we don't think about what we're doing to the future of our country. The reason I left my private practice was because I looked in the face of my 10-year-old son who couldn't understand why a mayor in San Francisco was issuing same-sex marriage licenses. He says, "What are you going to do about it, Dad? You're a lawyer." And I thought, you know what? I've got to do something about it. This is my watch, and it's our watch collectively. And together we can win because truth always triumphs. We just got to keep the doors open for the truth. That's why elections are important, because especially on the Supreme Court, we want to have men and women on that court that will honor the Constitution and they'll protect these fundamental values. And we are engaged in those courtroom battles every day. But you know, the thing is, James, we believe that if we win, everybody wins.
Absolutely.
But if they win, everybody loses.
Absolutely.
We're not fighting against them, we're fighting for them.
Yeah.
Because this is how we save America.
And there again, you've just addressed something that is, I see it as principle, but it also carries over to political, which the political aspect, the elected choose the judges, those who serve for life. I think we could even challenge the term, life terms. I think those are all these things we could bring to the table.
Right.
I think we could have good, healthy discussions.
Yeah.
But the point is that there again, we're back, Betty, to politics. I don't want Christians to dodge and say, well, Christians should be in politics. We should not be seen as a political power base, but we should be seen as an influence in life on planet Earth, a kingdom imprint, the footprints of the weight of God's presence and God's truth everywhere, and that will affect the leadership, the people that we select to represent the principles that we not only value, but that are imperative for stability and security, for economic soundness, all these things. So don't cringe at political, and don't start trying to become a political party. Impact every political party with the principles of God. Does this make sense? Can you say amen to what
amen.
I said, Mr.
Amen.
Attorney? Well, you appreciate the Alliance Defense Fund. You appreciate Doug. Hopefully you appreciate what I'm saying, because, you know, really and truly, I'll be honest with you, if they didn't appreciate it, I'm not running for something. You know, most prophets were never invited back. They were never invited the first time. Sometimes we do speak prophetically. We address the issues, and I'm going to do it. Let me just put the Alliance Defense Fund website up there again. I just simply say to you, very, very important that you pray for them and pray about the issues they bring before you. Alan Sears, who co-authored the book and helped with this incredible fund, this ministry impacted his life. Would you say that that was an important impact that a preacher and a ministry had on this man and this attorney?
No doubt about it. And Alan, who speaks very highly of you, but his passion is to protect the kind of work that you're doing, because he knows that it is your work that we've got to protect. And that's the passion of the whole team. That's where our hearts are.
Thank you. And you know what's so exciting? And here's the thing. The reason economic stability is important, Betty, is because people who have nothing are not able to help people who have legitimate needs, hopeless, helpless. I want you to listen. One of the things you're going to see here, you're going to see the son of our executive vice president. That Betty, we watched him grow up from the time he was born. We saw him as a little baby. And he's got five children. He's got the most beautiful family. But you're going to hear him sharing his heart in the midst of suffering. You're going to hear the heart of God. But listen to me. You can be the answer to what he's talking about. This is incredible. Watch closely.
My name is Vula. I am 11. Trying to make a run, my Lord. I'm a pivala. I'm a gerilio. I'm a pafat.
3 times a day, Vula goes down to this water source with her mom that is unbelievable. It is disgusting water, filled with disease. You can't see 2 inches into this water. We watched cattle walking into this water, drinking it, defecating in it, people bathing down there, washing their laundry. And then right there, at that same very area, Vula and all of these other people are scooping water out in the buckets, and we watched them drink it right there. And it's unbelievable the pollution that they're taking right into their bodies. And they know that it's bad, but they have no choice. Vula recently lost her 13-year-old sister to contaminated water. Vula knows very well what the symptoms are of waterborne diseases because she watched it happen with her sister. She was there at her deathbed, helping to take care of her to the very end. And unfortunately, what's happening is Vula is starting to show some of the same symptoms. And I can't imagine what it's like to have no choice but to continue to go back to that water 3 times a day, knowing that it took your sister, knowing that it is probably going to take your life too.
Well, I want to just say thank you, Lord, for what I heard coming out of Kyle's heart. You know, we led his mother to the Lord when she was a teenager many years ago. And now Kyle, as he grew up with our youngest daughter and in school, and now he has 5 beautiful children. To listen to Kyle's heart, Kyle, we want you to know we're so pleased with how we see Jesus in you. And your mother, Jeannie, you've seen Jeannie on the mission field and over where we're trying to rescue girls from the sex trafficking children. This is really a picture of the ministry that you make possible. It continues, and when you listen to Kyle talking about this precious girl losing her sister with that filthy water, and know that we told the missionaries there, and we told the people, we're gonna give you a well, believing that our viewers would make it possible for us to do that, because Betty, we can drill a well. You and I can help through the year drill some wells, have a part in it, but we can't drill the 400 that we've located where the need is so great.
No,
we've got to have the help
without,
of our viewers.
Not without your help. We want to do our part because it's so in our hearts to want to give them clean, pure water to drink. You know, Vula, she knew what happened to her sister. She knew what caused her sister illness and then to later on to die. And she seems to be smart enough to know that she's drinking that same water and it's likely to happen to her if she doesn't get the water that she needs, the clean water. And James, we can do that with the water wells. We can make the, we can give them a choice. Let's give them a choice for the clean water. What do you think they'll choose?
You know, she said she lost her best friend. Well, I want to be honest with you. You're not only our best friend, because we treasure our family and the relationship we have, but you're our best friends. And you know what the missionaries say? In so many ways, you're their best friend, because you make it possible for them to do what they do. You make it possible for us to take the drilling equipment that people like you paid for, to drill those wells. Right now, we're targeting over 400 areas in 15 nations that are just like that. That's one of the areas. So if you can just see that, she's representing all those other areas, all the other best friends whose lives we can save and give them a chance. Don't they deserve a chance at life? They will never have perhaps the nice things that we have, but couldn't they at least be able to have a clean drink of water? Because we know the water of life, the love of God that we find in Christ. Would you please, right now, dial that number, take your bank card, and if you can possibly drill a well, listen, $48 will make it possible to give 10 people water the rest of their life. Consider this. You can help give 30 people water the rest of their life with a gift of $144. Could you do that? And then could you possibly drill a well? We've got many people who say it's the joy of my life to write a $4,800 check or to put it on my bank card, use my card like a check. That's how you use them. Would you do that? Or could you give a part of a well? $1,200, 3 join you, we got a well. $2,400, someone else joins you. Whatever level you can help, would you do it? Father, I pray every person watching would move right now to the phone or go online and make the gift you put on their heart. Thank you for doing it. Remember, you can if you'd like. And I pray you're dialing the number. Pray you got that card and you're going to help us give life and give hope. you can go to lifetoday.org and make your gift online. We have some gifts for you to bless you as you give life and a chance to others in desperate need. Hey, give life to somebody's best friend, somebody's sister.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. The suffering can end because clean water changes everything in life. With your support, we will drill 415 new water wells in remote villages in 15 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people, and $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. In appreciation for your gift to help drill these new wells, be sure to request the Kingdom Life Journal. This beautiful leather-bound prayer devotional includes both Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a place to write your own reflections as God speaks to you through His Word. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the journal as well as our beautiful commemorative bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for giving life. We want to send you the Kingdom Life Journal. One of the best things you can do is just write down the impressions that come to you every day as God speaks to you. We've shared Proverbs and Psalms in the journal. Be a blessing to you. I want to mention again, you can go to the Alliance Defense Fund. There's the website. You might consider getting this very important book. And I want to say thanks again to Doug for coming and sharing with us. And would you join Betty and me in just thanking Doug Napier for coming to be with us? Thank you, Doug. God bless you, man. Look forward to seeing you soon, okay? Yeah. We're going to be praying together for the things you care about. Joining you in that hope for a very sound future, pointing to Him.
Next week, Women of Faith speaker and author Lisa Harper.
I tell people I'm not fixed, but I'm freer than I ever dreamt that I could be.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.